Welcome to another episode of Living an Ultra Life. And this week, you know it's fall when Starbucks starts putting out all their pumpkin spice drinks. But the main, most important thing is you know it's fall when it's Cape Fear 24-hour time and I get to chat with the most awesome, most famous Lisa McFadden. You ready to go for a run, Lisa?
Absolutely. That's a great introduction. Thank you.
You bet, man. You top all the pumpkin stuff at any of the coffee shops. So, yeah.
Well, that's very flattering. Thank you.
Well, it's awesome to get to talk to you again. And I know you don't really need any introduction, but tell our listeners who you are and what you do when you're not out running some really, really badass races and race directing one of the best 24-hour races you'll ever find in the whole country.
Oh, that's so sweet. Well, my name is Lisa McFadden. I live in Lillington, North Carolina. I have four kids. I work for Harnett County. I'm the budget director for the county. I've been with them for about 24 and a half years. So pretty much I do a lot of public service stuff. I volunteer in my community. I sit on several boards and committees. And two of my boys, they're twins, and you've seen them at the races, and I'm sure a lot of people have too. They're now 13, and they do travel baseball. So when I'm not running on the weekends, I am at a baseball tournament.
Oh my.
So that's a lot of fun.
Wow. And your husband, just is he still the mayor of Lillington?
He is still the mayor of Lillington. I think this is about 19 years he's been the mayor.
Wow.
And he's up for re-election again next year in 2025.
That's awesome. And he's a stature at Cape Fear 24 hours. So whenever you're out there, you'll see him. So
yes.
That's awesome.
Yes.
Are any of the kids going to run this year?
All three boys will. My daughter, who has been my volunteer extraordinaire for the last several years, she has always been such a huge help to me. Well, she is at Kansas State. She's in vet school now. So she just started.
Awesome.
I know. So she just started in August. So she won't be here this year, but we're going to try to work it out so she can fly home next year.
Cool. So this is her first year at vet school in Kansas State then?
Yes, it is. So,
wow.
But all three of the boys, they'll be out there. One of the twins says he's not going to, but just in case, he may walk a few laps. The other one said he wants to do 50 miles, and the other one, I have no idea. So we'll see. There's no pressure on them. They just like to get out there and do it.
Oh, yeah. And everybody out there knows them and loves them and everything. So it's always fun to share a lap with them. So that's always fun. But so, Lisa, you've had an amazing year running. Let's dive into that. You finished Umstead again. Is that 15 or 16?
That's 13.
13. So, okay. All right.
And so I was able to get registered again this year. Thank goodness to have friends with fast internet. I was actually out at Cowboy 200 the night before. Well, the night we flew in the day of registration. So there's three of us on our cell phones trying to get me registered, and we could not get to that login page. And I got a text message from Dan and Don Lentz saying, "Hey, do you need in? Do you need in?" I'm like, "Yes, I need in." So they called and I gave Dawn all my information. She got me registered. So it takes a team to get into that event.
It's getting so popular. It's getting hard to get into, isn't it?
It is so stressful. I get so nervous during Umstead registration.
Because it fills up like the first couple
minutes.
Hours that it's open, right?
Yeah. Oh, it's minutes.
Is it minutes now?
It's within an hour because of the way they release the number of entries at a time for everybody to get in. So yeah,
wow.
It fills within an hour.
Such an amazing race, though.
It is awesome. And it's, yes. So I'll go back as many times as I can get in, or at least until I get my 2,000 mile buckle.
There you go. Yeah, you're getting closer. I mean, 13 finishes, that's 1,300, right?
Yes.
That's awesome. And then this year in March, you got to do something really special, didn't you?
I did. A once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
So tell us a little bit about the iconic Barkley Marathon.
So I got selected, and I actually went, and It was an adventure. So I actually applied last fall, and then you get a email letting you know whether you get in or waitlisted or not at all. So last fall, I found out that I was ninth on the wait list, and everybody said, well, you need to train like you're getting in, you need to train like you're getting in. So I did a lot of climbing on a treadmill. There's nowhere in my area that could simulate what's out there.
No
So,
way. No way.
and so, of course, for me, the training was not nearly enough. And I think for anybody who wants to do that, the minute they think that they want to do it, start training. So,
Right.
when I found out I got in the race, it was actually about 3 weeks prior. And of course, I wanted to take that opportunity. I knew I was not trained enough to do it, but if this was going to be the time to do it, it was going to be the time to do it. So, of course, I packed all my stuff up and went there, and it was amazing. There is nothing like it. When you're climbing up the side of a mountain and you're on your hands and knees, pulling on trees to pull up, all you do is just giggle. It's like, this is just
Yeah,
crazy.
because
But
it's wild. I mean,
it is.
just going into it, you know you're in for a task because aren't you the night before handed the map of, and that
Yes.
shows just like the compass points of where the books are, right?
Absolutely. And I had never read a topo map or used a compass or anything like that. So when I was on the wait list last December, I went and took a land navigation class. It was an 8-hour class where I learned how to do all of that.
Awesome.
So I was actually in that class on the day of Western States Lottery.
Oh, you're kidding. No
Yes.
way. Did your phone blow up while you were in
It
class?
did. It did. But of course, I can't answer the phone to say, hey, yay, because I'm in this secret class that nobody's supposed to know I'm in a class, or land
No.
navigation for a race that nobody's supposed to know
Nobody's
that
supposed to
I'm
know.
in.
Exactly. So that's got to be weird. So, I mean, because that's the next thing we're gonna jump into is you got into Western States, which I'm really jealous. But so you're training for a race. You can't tell anybody what it is you're training for, except probably your closest friends who aren't gonna go blab it to the world. But I mean, how do you balance that whole respecting the rules of the race and everything with being so incredibly, you had to be incredibly jazzed to get in and just have the opportunity to at least go for one loop, right?
Oh yeah. And in my mind, if I could have completed one loop, that would have been success.
Yeah.
Although I think getting in was a success too.
I think getting in
Finding
is a
a book
success, towing
was
the start
success.
line. Fine. I was going to say, for me, finding a book would have been like, I found a book.
Well, and that was so much fun. Once you found that book, it became like a game. It was like, oh my gosh, now we gotta go get the next book. And it just the clues that you have to follow. Because you find it on the map, you get to the area that you know the book is in, and then they have these clues, which are little riddles, and then you try to figure it out to where it was. And so that was the fun part when you found the book. It was like, yes, I got the book. Now let's go find the next one.
That
Kind of
is so awesome. So, how many books did you actually find?
four. I found
That is
four.
awesome. You found
Well,
four?
I was thinking I could have at least gotten a lot more. I think if it had not taken 5 hours and 23 minutes to find that first book, we'd have had at
Gosh.
least six or seven.
Oh, wow. And
Yeah,
it's
so
wild because you don't have you have no idea how many miles you've done, how far you are from anything, because you just got like an old Timex watch that tells you the time of day, right?
right. And so we knew 13 hours and 20 minutes to complete that first loop. And if you're over that time, you're expected to start working, making your way back to the start finish area. That way, they don't have to
Okay.
send out search and rescue. So there was no way we were going to come off that course because it was me and there was one other guy that I was with. We were not going to come off that course until the time had expired.
Right.
So we were really close to book number five because we were at a water drop and we could have gone and got that book and then made it back. But I don't want to tick anybody off. So I was like, nope, we're out of time here. We're going to start making our way back. And it was still 6 miles,
Oh my gosh.
to get back. But
So did you get to do a rat jaw?
No, I did not. And I
Oh,
didn't get to see the prison either. Maybe I'm gonna have to go.
no.
I know.
Well, you're just
So,
gonna have to get in again.
either that or go to Barclay Fall Classic, which is going on right now.
Yeah, I was gonna say they're out there running that right now. That's a monster also. But yeah, that's the other way to do it, is go to Barclay Fall Classic. But oh my gosh. I'm so proud of you for at least toeing the line and getting out there and doing it and taking the course, taking a navigational course so that you weren't out there clueless. That's amazing.
Yeah, that was fun. That was probably the highlight of my running career so far.
Yeah, no kidding. So
But
then the other thing, you're sitting in this navigation course, and all of a sudden your phone starts blowing up because you got into a race that is rather iconic, right?
yeah, so I had 128 tickets this year. So
Oh
I
my
knew
gosh.
that my chances were pretty high because when I ran it in 2015, I finished it in 2015. And so every year since then, I've been back in the lottery.
Right.
But the most amazing thing, the one thing that just, I don't know, it was like a sign. It was just meant to be. My running partner and one of my very best friends, Keisha Hagestreet, also got drawn. She had two
Wow.
tickets. And she's also my training partner that we run with every morning.
So both of
So
you got in. That's
we
awesome. How
both got
special.
in. And so she was the one, she was my only running friend that knew I had gotten into Barkley because she was watching the lottery for me while I was in this class, and she was going to text me if I got in. So she was the one person that I had to tell.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Because you spend a
And
lot of time with her.
yes. And so when she got in, I was like, oh my gosh, this is a sign. This is so much fun. And it was just the best.
That is awesome. So, did you guys start and run together then?
We did a lot of training together. We went out to the training runs together, but I'm a faster climber and she is a faster downhill runner. So
Okay.
we always start together, but we typically never finish together. No,
Okay,
we
so
have done.
you just yo-yoed.
Yeah. And
Okay.
we've done a couple of 100 milers together where we stay together the entire time, but that was the plan going in. Most of the time, our races are we just go, we start, and then we run our own race kind of
Okay.
thing. And that's what we do.
All right, so you start in the dawn at Western States and you start up the escarpment. What was that like?
Oh, it is beautiful up there. The weather was really nice. When we went out for the training runs, there was still a lot of snow on the ground. So that was what I was worried about. But thank goodness there was no snow up there. Little patches here and there. But yeah, the escarpment is just beautiful. Because when you get up to the top and you turn around, you can see Lake Tahoe. It is very magical. And the views at that race are just amazing. And I guess it's because living in North Carolina, we don't have those kind of views.
Right.
And but that's one thing I liked about the trainer runs, because you can go and you can just take your time, you can take pictures and look at it and just admire it. And then when you go out for the race, you got to focus a little bit more.
Yeah. So you focused in. So what were your highlights, and what was kind of the lowest part you hit during that race?
The lowest part was it was probably close to mile 60, and that's when my stomach starts, going
Oh.
south. And then
Yeah.
shortly after that, I threw up, but that's okay because you can puke and rally, and then you feel so much better after that. But at that point, I got to that point where I just couldn't breathe, which is weird because the further in the course you go, the lower you get in your
Yeah.
elevation. So I was like, I don't know if it's elevation or what, but it was just I could not take a deep breath. And so it was so hard to run. I just felt like I could not breathe. And that had not happened before. And I didn't know what was going on. So I was slowing down. My legs felt great. All of that. It was just the whole breathing thing. I had gotten slower and slower and slower. We were coming into Pointed Rocks, which is around mile 94. I came into that thing seconds before the cutoff.
Oh my goodness.
And I come through that and get to the other side of it. So I made it through that cutoff. And I'm like, there is no way I can maintain a 20-minute mile because that's what I needed to do to the finish. I'm
Yep.
like, I'm barely making a 30-minute mile. But so we just kept moving and moving and moving. And this is where the low point comes in. I'm coming into Roby Point, which
Yep.
you got a mile and some change left. And it is 5 minutes past the race cutoff. And I come in there and the guy comes out, the aid station worker, and he's so nice. He said, "What do you need? Do you need some water? Do you need snacks? Do you need a hug?" And I just like, "I just need a hug." And he hugged me. It was so sweet. And the lady goes, she said, "Now go to the finish line." And she said, "You get to finish. You just, it's unofficial. You don't get a buckle, but you do get a finisher medal and the finisher shirt."
Sweet.
And then my whole outlook just changed. The sunshine just came right back out.
Awesome.
Because I was like, "You mean you're not going to cut my band?" Because when you drop at Western States, they cut your wristband.
Yes. Yep.
And they take that off. And they were like, "Nope, you get to go to the finish. You made it this far." And I was so thankful. I'm like, "Well, I covered the distance. I get to finish the race. I get my little medal. I get my shirt." So at that point, I am struggling that last mile. We sat down on the, there was this little walkway. And I just sat down for a little bit. I was like, "I'm just going to sit here and breathe. I get to finish, so I'm just going to sit here and try to breathe." There was somebody handing out popsicles a little bit later. Somebody handed me a beer that I put in my vest. I said, "I'll save this for later." And so that last mile was, it was nice. It was
awesome.
A pretty much of a walk. I get to the track and I'm running around the track and they're still announcing the names and everybody's cheering, and I come around to where you can see the clock and it's shut off. So
Oh my
I'm like,
gosh.
"Well, okay, we're good." So
That's awesome.
I know. So I
You
crossed the finish
crossed the
line.
line. That's what counts.
That's right. And at that point, Keisha was there, my crew, her crew, all our pacers. We had turned it into a girls' trip. So there were eight of us, plus Amy McDowell, another girl from Raleigh that had run into some issues and she had to drop early as well. So we all went across the finish line together. So
That's awesome.
That was the highlight.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It was, you know, and then afterwards it was the whole, "Man, I'm disappointed" kind of thing, but it's taken a little while to get over. You know, everybody's like, "Well, when you get a DNF, kind of learn from it after you get over it." And you know, it's one of those really hard things to get over.
Oh, yeah. You know, though, I wouldn't look at Western States as a DNF. I'd look at it as a DNFT. Didn't finish in time.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. You know, just add that T to the end of it because you finished it. You did the distance, you did the hard work, and you'll figure out what caused the breathing stuff and go back and kick butt.
We'll just call it
Yeah.
my unofficial finish.
There you go. Everybody's got one.
That's right.
That is so cool. But then you weren't done
Nope.
for the summer. You I didn't even know you were going out and doing this, and all of a sudden I see this Lisa McFadden in Cowboy 200, which I was jealous of because that's kind of one of those ones that I'm like, "Oh, someday I want to go do that." So you went and did Cowboy 200. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, that was so much fun. So Keisha and I had DNF'd at Tahoe 100 2 years ago. We had timed out. So we're sitting there in California looking. I'm like, "We're already trained. Let's find something else to do." So we had looked up, because she was the one that threw out, "Let's do Tahoe 200. I'm like, "Well, let's do the 100 first. So then we were sitting there looking up races, and I'm like, "Well, let's," I was like, "there's a Cowboy 200 and it's in November." And we already had some things planned. And I was like, "Well, maybe not this year, but maybe next year." But then they switched it to September, which was even better for the weather wise. And last year I'd already signed up for Tunnel Hill. So that was out. And then I said, "Cowboy 200 in 2024. So we registered. Keisha was out there with me. It is a fantastic 200 miler for those people that want to do Vol State or the Heart of the South race, those kind of things. This is a really good introduction to it because you'll have aid stations and you get drop bags. So for those that are maybe not ready for that 314 plus mile run or self-supported, this is like a journey run on training wheels, I think.
Awesome.
But
Awesome.
It's not as flat as you would think it would be. In my mind, Nebraska is going to be very flat. But if you look at the course profile, the steady elevation climb, but there are a
Yeah, because
couple.
you're heading west, Lisa.
Yeah.
You remember that? Remember that part about going west? You go east
Yes.
to west across Nebraska.
And
What's
they
west of
used
Nebraska again?
mountains.
Yeah.
They had a couple of detours in the first half of it because the bridges had washed out, or they're trying to make the course, I think, a little bit longer at the first part. So there were a little bit more rolling hills there. And then at the very end of the race, there were some rolling hills, which was kind of nice because you could walk the hills, run the downhills a little bit to
Yeah.
break up that monotonous flatness. But it
So
was
now, what
really
was your approach? Did you sleep at the sleeping stations, or what did you do?
so that was my biggest challenge thought going into this thing. It was my whole sleep. So
Yeah.
my plan was to sleep at the they have three sleep station, one at the halfway point, another one at mile about 145 in, and the other one's about 175-ish in. So I knew I was going to at least rest there for a longer period of time because they had cots and stuff for you to lay on, which was fantastic. So, and that's what I did. I got to the 100-mile mark. My goal was to get there between 30 and 32 hours. And I
Okay.
got there right before 32 hours, but they had a sleep room and it was so cold in there. And they had blankets and cots that you could use, but I was already kind of cold because you still have sweat on you and that makes it even worse. And then people were snoring. So I left that room to try to go into another room out there where everybody else was at, which was warmer, but I just couldn't sleep there. And it was, I slept maybe an hour and I was
Okay.
like, well, I'm just going to start moving again and I'll sleep. Because in my mind, I'm like, I just got another 44 miles to go and I can sleep good there. Yeah,
Right.
well,
Yeah. Yeah.
that 44
After 100
miles,
miles. Yeah.
yeah,
What's 44 miles, right?
what I was thinking. Oh, those were the hardest 44 miles. Yeah,
That's
so,
crazy. So,
but
was
by
Keisha, did Keisha stay with you, or were you guys
we were
separate at this
together
point?
for probably the first 5 miles, and I never saw her again to the finish.
Okay. All right.
But we had, and you know, Sherry McGafferty too.
Yep.
She.
Yep.
So she went out there and she did the 200, or she was signed up for the 200. She stopped at mile 85. She and Keisha were together until then.
Okay.
And then Laura Smith, who's also from Lillington, she's at Cape Fear too. She's usually one of my volunteers. And she did the 100,
Okay.
but she stopped at mile 75.
Okay.
But Keisha finished. She actually got an unofficial finish
Okay.
because she came in about an hour after the cutoff.
She got a
But
finish. That's cool.
she got her, she stepped and she even got the buckle.
That's awesome. The Hammonds are
That's
awesome. Yeah.
right.
Yeah, the Hammonds are they're a class act. So that's cool.
They are. They really are. And the volunteers that were out there, I think that's one of the things that they probably. They all said that they needed more volunteers because those the volunteers that were there were fantastic, but they were very overworked. I
Right.
think they were exhausted because a lot of them were already they're already race directors too, and they were manning multiple aid stations. So
Wow.
once they finished at one, they would pack it all up and travel to another one and set it all back up and work that aid station too. But it
Oh
was
my
great
goodness.
because when you came into the next aid station, you're like, hey, it's like your friends are there again. I was
Right. That's amazing. Dang.
like, so they are very, very hardworking volunteers.
Yeah. That's amazing. So you have had an incredible running year, man. This is so exciting.
So now I'm on a little break until my next one I'm going to do. I've got Derby 50K in November and
Okay.
then Charleston 100 in December, so that'll finish up my 2024.
What an amazing year. So what are you looking at for 2025?
I'm really on the fence about Swami Shuffle
Oh, you
because,
should do it.
yeah, well, it all has to do with about work stuff. So if I can
Yep.
get with work worked around that, I would love to do that. I would really love to do Heart of the South race this year, but with my work schedule. In the way it is in the month of June,
I was
that's
going to say it kind of falls at the end of June, around the end of the quarter time, doesn't it?
yeah, it's the end of our fiscal year, and that just messes all my big plans up.
Yeah.
So
Dang
I
it.
know. But of course, I've got Umstead 100 and Cowboy 200, maybe. I
You
don't know.
used to do
It's
it,
just like there's just so many things. I haven't sat down to actually plan it out yet, but yeah, those are the
You're
things
gonna
that
do it
a
again.
radar
Same
that I want
thing.
to do, but it's just I can't commit yet because I don't. You have to sit and wait to see what you can work into your schedule.
No kidding. There's so many races that I want to do. Well, I'm excited because once again, it's time for Cape Fear 24. And I heard a rumor, and you can either deny this or tell the truth, but I hear that all the people of Lillington are doing like these dances to keep the rain away. Is that true?
Yes. Oh my goodness. Yes. Having this race right in the middle of hurricane season, I just get so nervous. Start watching that weather 2 weeks out. I'm like, is there anything in the tropics? Please do not let there be anything in the tropics. It's been so rainy the last couple of years. We've got to have a beautiful day.
Wouldn't it be awesome just to
We
have like
are
a
owed a
nice
beautiful day.
fall day where the temps don't get wild, low humidity, and we can see a bunch of people bomb the 100 in 24 hours? Wouldn't that be awesome?
Absolutely. That would be
What's
perfect.
the most number of 100-mile finishers in a year at Cape Fear?
12. And that was last year in our rain year. Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy. That is crazy. Wow.
Yep.
And there are some phenomenal runners coming to Cape Fear.
Yes.
I looked at the lineup and I'm like, I've converted to ultra walker. So I have finally driven to the dark side and said, I'm a much better power walker than I am a runner. So might as well just dive straight into it and do it all the way. So I'm shooting for 100 miles walking at Cape Fear this year. So that's going to be my first foray into walk the entire 100 miles and see what happens. And I'm sitting there going, I could finish 100 miles and I'd still finish maybe top 30.
Yep.
Holy smokes, man. There's some beast that are coming to this race. That's going to be fun.
Am so excited.
It's going to be awesome. And of course, all our usual friends are going to be there. Ray Krolowicz will be there, right?
Yes, I looked at the entrance. So I cut off registration yesterday and I took down the wait list.
Okay.
We have 181 registered runners right now. And my cap is supposed to be 150. So we're about 31 people over
That's
the
all
limit.
right.
But things come up.
Yeah,
Everyone
and
will
not all of
know
them,
that.
not everybody goes out and runs the full 24 anyway. I mean, they're out there for the start and some hang out for 3, 4 hours, some 12, and some insane people just keep on going around in circles for 24 hours, huh?
Exactly. And of those 181 people, 107 have been there before.
That's incredible.
And we have
Wow.
14 of those have been there every year.
That's awesome.
I
Wow.
know.
Because is this going to be your fifth or your sixth year race
Sixth year.
directed? Okay,
Sixth.
cool. Keep on trying to remember. So yeah, this will be my fourth, so it's your sixth. Okay, cool.
So we started in 2018, but then in 2020 we had to skip that year.
Yeah, that's
So this will be
amazing.
the sixth year.
Okay, so weather is going to be what weather is going to be. So tell us what else you have in store for us at Cape Fear 24.
Campbell University, they're going to come back again this year. We're so fortunate that the football team had another bye week. So
Okay.
the sports medicine students will be back out there with the mobile medical unit, addressing any issues, helping stretch runners out. PHC, they have said that they may not come back with the full-blown tent like they had last year for the drying chamber.
Right.
But if it does rain, they have told me that they would set something up on a smaller scale. And that's only because they're not going to be here to monitor it most of the day. They've got other commitments going on, but they're going to come out and volunteer that night. The rest of it, all the other great things that we typically do, music in the press box, lights around the ballpark at nighttime, amazing volunteers, lots of options for food and drinks. And the t-shirts this year are green, if anybody wants to know.
There
Every
we
year
go.
it's a different color.
Awesome. Yep. That's awesome.
I got green shirts. I want to tell everybody.
That's awesome. All right. So we got green shirts this year. That is totally cool. Got
Kelly
the
Green.
usual great food, because I mean that's part of Cape Fear is you go down and you will not starve.
Nope, you'll gain a few pounds.
That's right. The only 24-hour race where you come out chubbier than you went in. So that's always good. What do you think the winning mileage is going to be this year?
So Billy Gunn's at 130 right now.
Yep.
And so he's not running this year. He's volunteering. He was out
No
at
way.
Cowboy 200.
He was at Cowboy. Yep. I
Yes, he
saw he was
was.
out of Cowboy.
Of
He
course, he
rocked it,
does
man. Didn't he
amazing.
finish fourth or something like
He
that?
did.
Yep.
He did. And but he's going to come out and volunteer because he's focusing on Tideland 24 this year.
Okay.
So I want to say at least 135.
Okay. I could see a 136 to 140, which would qualify for the USA team.
It's possible.
There's some animals coming.
That's my goal. That is what I want Cape Fear to be known as, is that race that if you have a goal you want to come out and do and crush it, I want to make sure that you have every opportunity to do that. So with the lights at nighttime, you don't have to worry about messing with a headlamp.
Yep.
You've got your stuff right there on the course that you can grab and go. We have all sorts of food options. So if something's not sitting right, you've got options A, B, C, and D, because I want to be that race that has the most 24-hour buckles earned in this whole area.
That's awesome. I think that's an awesome goal, and I definitely think you're going to get there. I mean, the other thing that, most 24s don't have, and this is a weird thing, but the toilets are well situated. I mean, they're at both corners, and then you've got the flush toilets, right there at the start finish line. I mean, three sets of toilet, which I mean, I'm face it, in a 24-hour race, you're going to have to go at some point. So there's just so many options for that. That and just the whole vibe of the race is one of the things that you've just done a phenomenal job creating, this vibe around the race where it's all family. It's like you're running with people and you see faces that you know, and you're going around in loops all the time, and you're going to see them, and it's exciting. It's fun.
And I love that. I love that. That's what people like about it too, because it's a reunion every year. And a lot of these people I only see once a year at this race.
The other thing that's fun is, you get some of these, Billy Gunn type of runners out there who are just phenomenal, phenomenal runners, and you get to cheer for them as they're passing you. As I say, yet again, there he goes again. Yeah.
And
So
what I like is at nighttime in the middle of the night when they slow down, I can run a lap with them and keep up
yeah,
and talk
that
to
is
them
the
for a
exciting
minute.
part. Exactly. That's the only time that I can run with some of those guys.
Me too. So.
It's going to be so much fun, and I mean, just the whole, atmosphere around Cape Fear. When can people come down and start setting up?
On Friday, October the 11th, typically. Because we get there that morning and I have to go ahead and get all the main stuff set up. And then it's usually about 2 or 3 in the afternoon. It's when the park said, yeah, they're fine to come in, because we do still have a lot of people in the area that come and just walk on the trail there. There was a neighborhood behind it and they use it. And but usually in the afternoon, people can start setting up their campsite, their race setup, whatever they need to do.
And there's plenty of places to set it up. I mean, my goodness,
Yes.
you can
Yes.
set it up all the way around if you wanted to.
Yep.
But yeah,
And leave
so
and come back and go get a
yep.
hotel room. And
But why would you want to do that? Because half the fun is Friday night, being out there and just, walking around from, site to site and chatting with all the people that are out there and everything. Because you're going to run into some of the most famous ultra runners that nobody knows their names.
absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, legends, just pure absolute legends of the sport that made ultra running what it was, 30, 40 years ago, and you get to go rub shoulders with them. So it's always fun.
And they're so nice.
Yeah,
And they're
they
always
are.
willing to give you some advice and encouragement.
And it's race directed by a legend. I mean, who else? What other race can you go to where you've got a Barkley Marathon participant? You've got a Western States unofficial finisher, but official in
Finished
my
in
book.
2015, so I'm still
That's right, you
finishing.
finished in 2015. But I mean, in 1 year, in
Yep.
2024, you're going to get to go out and do this wonderful, awesome 24-hour race, and you're going to get to rub shoulders with an absolute legend who has just rocked it this year.
Well, I'll just say that I've been very fortunate and lucky to do some of the things that I've been able to do.
Yeah. Well, you're doing a fantastic job. And like I say, the one thing that I know always symbolizes fall is that Cape Fear 24 is right around the corner.
Well, we are so excited that it's that time of year.
It's going to be a blast, as usual, Lisa. Looking forward to it. And Jenny's excited that she gets a green t-shirt this year because she steals
Oh,
every single one of my Cape Fear t-shirts. I get the t-shirt. So, yep, she gets
and
the
it's super
t-shirt.
soft, like always.
There you go. That's the best part, is the super softness of the t-shirts. Jenny
Yeah.
appreciates it. So this year we're gonna go chase that buckle for real and see if we can knock that sucker out.
Well, I have every bit of faith that you can do it too.
There you go. Well, Lisa, thank you for spending a little bit of time with us. And man, I'm looking forward to seeing you in a couple weeks.
Well, I will see you and your sweet wife in a few weeks.
You got it, Lisa. Thank you.
You are very welcome.
Thanks for listening. Really appreciate you guys. We'll see you next time on Living an Ultralife.